Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Joe and Amber Podcast.
That was from the show on Wednesday. And then Joe Fortenbaugh took it to Twitter. He decided to tell the Twitterverse that I think that you're a nerd if you played video games and watched wrestling in high school. And I will tell you, a lot of nerds out there on Twitter, because a lot of people came after me in my DMs. Thanks, Joe.
Maybe it's not so much there's a lot of nerds out there. Maybe it's just that you're the nerd and you're realizing that it's a lot of cool kids trying to let you know, yes, we all played GoldenEye. Yes, we watched a little WWE. And we still went out in the woods and had keggers. It didn't prevent us from getting down.
I don't think that's true, actually. I don't think that your crew was at the keggers. That was my crew who was not busy watching wrestling at home during high school. This is Joe and Amber on ESPN Radio. Joe Fortenbaugh, Amber Wilson. You can get into those arguments on Twitter with us at Amber W Sports, at Joe Fortenbaugh. That's how to get in touch with us. There's been lots of arguments amongst the Chiefs and the Bengals this week leading up to this AFC Championship game. These are two teams ready to talk some trash, Joe. And honestly, this has made the AFC so much more fun than I think this NFC game is. We're going to talk about the NFC Championship a little bit later in the show. But the AFC right now, it feels like a real rivalry between these two because, yes, we know the history of the Bengals beating the Chiefs three times in a row, but also all this trash talking along the way. I love it.
It's two perfect storylines for championship weekend because they're both very different. You're not hearing a lot in the Philadelphia-San Francisco game. It's really just the matter of the Eagles and their elite offense getting ready to take on the Niners and their elite defense. Very quiet, all business. That's how we're going to start the day. Then we get to the loud match later in the evening, right? It's going to be Burrow versus Mahomes, the AFC's new big-time quarterback rivalry, possibly the next Manning versus Brady. Two teams that don't like each other. Two teams that, despite it being recent history, have history. So it is a great 1-2 punch for championship weekend. We got the four best teams. We've got two great matchups. And I love the fact that these guys are talking. This is what you want. You want this in the buildup. It's harmless. It's all in good fun. And they're delivering for us. This is entertainment at the highest level.
100% I want it. I don't think James Steele, our producer, wants it because he's our resident Chiefs fan. He's shook with all the topping. I think he wants everybody to just shut the heck up. But I want it as a fan that doesn't have a dog in the fight. I think it's so fun. It's the transparency, frankly, that we don't get often enough in the NFL. A lot of the times, these guys act like robots. I'm here for it. Willie Gay, he definitely did not act like a robot. The Chiefs linebacker, he was asked, what impresses you about the Bengals offense?
I'm just excited to be playing football, man. That stuff is just what comes with the game, you know. We, like Coach Reed said, we don't do no talking. We just go handle business when it's time to go.
What is it about that Bengals offense that maybe impresses you the most? You played it a few times?
Nothing. Okay.
So we don't do no talking, but nothing impresses me about that Bengals offense. Seems a bit contradictory with what he followed it up with there, Joe.
If you're a fan, do you like or dislike this? Like, if you're a fan of the Chiefs, do you want to know that your guys are out there talking? It feels like overwhelmingly fans of teams that trash talk don't like it because they feel as if their team's giving the other team bulletin board material.
Right.
Do you really need bulletin board material to get up for the AFC Championship game? Like, are we under the impression Cincinnati's not really motivated, but these words are going to get the Bengals focused on the AFC Championship game?
Right, but it does provide a little extra fire and maybe a little bit more of a target on, you know, Willie Gay's back specifically, in other words. And so it can lead to the emotion of it all. You're right. Both of these teams are going to be motivated either way when we're talking about the AFC Championship game. Ja'Marr Chase, the Bengals wide receiver, he responded to Willie Gay's comments.
Willie Gay was asked what impresses him about the Bengals offense today. He said nothing.
Willie, the linebacker. Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
I ain't got no response for him. We're going to get him. I ain't got no response.
We're going to get him.
And that's funny coming from Chase, because generally the wide receiver position, that's the position that wants to do the most talking. So I love the fact that he's focused. I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if he blows the top off the Kansas City defense, because I know we're going to do game breakdowns later, but the Chiefs have struggled mightily against opposing number one wide receivers, Chase included. He put up 97 yards on him just a few weeks ago.
Aftab Perival, he is the mayor of Cincinnati. He also got in the mix in terms of the trash talking. Here was the mayor on his message to the city of Cincinnati.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test to confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Perival, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as they gotta play us day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
I mean, the mayor does have a good point about Kansas City and Kansas. Nevertheless, the rest of that was fire there from the mayor of Cincinnati mentioning Burrowhead, which is something we've heard now numerous times. The 3-0 wins, the paternity test to see if Joe Burrow is Patrick Mahomes' daddy. That is some serious trash talking from the mayor.
That's clearly a guy who never played GoldenEye or watched wrestling in high school. That's what that is.
Because he's
I'm
so
listening
cool.
to that. I don't. It felt. Anytime you're reading off a script to do trash talk, you're already coming down one or two levels. Like, the content can be great, but you got to deliver it passionately. That's what boxers do. That's what fighters do. Conor McGregor doesn't show up at these press conferences reading off a script. He comes in and he is who he is. It's got to be original. It's got to be something that feels like it's coming in an impromptu fashion.
But sitting down and reading a script. It's supposed to be a message to the city, though. That's why he has to have all the whereases in there. I was getting agita as a lawyer there. You know, whereas, blah, 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 blah. So it's
get the guy a Nintendo Switch. Get him GoldenEye. We'll get him on the right track.
Goodness, here you go. Joe and Amber, ESPN Radio. All you have to do is tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio to hear us. Amber Wilson, Joe Fortenbaugh with you. Joe Fortenbaugh, very misguided about what was cool in high school. Chris Jones, the Chiefs D tackle. He also called Arrowhead Burrowhead. Take a listen to this.
What do you do now? You got all the practice in. You got almost 2 days to wait for this. What's tomorrow look like for you?
Rest, watch a little more film, see what else I can pick up, and eliminate all distractions. Take care. See y'all at Burrowhead.
I like how he just throws it out there on the way out, though. It's like, see y'all at Burrowhead. And it's like his voice starts trailing off because he's going, you know, see y'all at Burrowhead Stadium. Just throws it out there on his way out. The Burrowhead stuff, that's got to anger Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Kansas City cannot lose this game for that reason alone. Like, you can lose in life. You can learn from your mistakes. You can come back stronger. But the fact that they're calling your stadium Burrowhead now, before they've actually beaten you, if they come in there and beat you again, like, that's it. That will then become a nationwide thing that everyone will say. And the Chiefs will just be minimized. They'll so quickly be minimized in the grand scheme of the AFC.
I hate the Bengals now. Like, I hate
do
them.
You?
Yeah, I absolutely hate them now. Yeah, yeah.
More than the Raiders?
You should have already hated them because they've owned you three times in a row. So you should have already hated them, frankly, by now.
There's just like anger in my stomach right now that isn't
Doesn't that make it more fun, though, James?
Are you
honestly?
Sure that's not your burrito you had for lunch?
No way.
It makes it more fun. Stop. It makes it more fun. You want to, I mean, even for me as
it's
a sports fan, when I
lose.
Think, when, but even when I think about like the rivalries for my teams, you know, you want that. Like, you want the visceral hatred. You want.
Oh, yeah. The Dolphins
really
got all those great rivalries.
I miss those rivalries, man.
When's Vinny Testaverde coming back?
To be honest, I'm glad that the Jets are on an upward trajectory, right? Like, let's get back to that. Like, let's get back to those rivalries. I'm here for the rivalries. I would take the Heat and Knicks to actually look like the Heat and Knicks once were. Joe and Amber is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Coming up next, are the Jets trying to do, speaking of the Jets, what the Broncos unsuccessfully tried to do last season? We'll get into their hire. This is Joe and Amber, ESPN Radio. You can also listen to us on the ESPN app.
Joe and Amber, the podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You can always join the conversation here on Joe and Amber, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What we like to do a few times every single show here on Joe and Amber is try to earn you a little money, a little extra cash in your pocket. We like to call it pizza money, some loose change. You're not going to bet your house on Joe's advice, but maybe you'll earn a little extra cash. Let's get to it.
Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
All right, it's Friday during the NFL playoffs, so we're going to go with all playoff props. Today, we're starting with Brock Purdy, quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, going over 9.5 rushing yards. Purdy has racked up at least 8 rushing yards in each playoff game so far this postseason. Quarterbacks will run more in the playoffs. I don't have a stat to back that up. Just kind of feels right. Right? Game's on the line. You're going to scramble. You're going to try to pick up the first down. After all, he's in a hostile environment going up against the number one pass defense in the league in Philadelphia. So when things look south, tuck it, young man, and run. Keep in mind, Philadelphia has surrendered the 4th most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks this season. So it's a good matchup for a quarterback who wants to use his legs. Pizza money, playoff prop number one for this fine Friday. Brock Purdy over 9.5 rushing yards.
The New York Jets are hiring former Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator.
He's got a proven track record of tremendous relationships with all the quarterbacks that he's ever worked with.
You shouldn't hire Nathaniel Hackett because you think it'll bring you Aaron Rodgers. That's the lesson from the Broncos last year.
Aaron Rodgers is the guy that they need on that football team.
So this is an outstanding sign to me.
That was Mike Greenberg's voice at the end there, getting very excited, far too excited. Greeny has been all week about the prospect of Aaron Rodgers coming to the New York Jets. And a lot of people now feel like, hey, that's what's going to happen because the New York Jets ended their 2-week search for an offensive coordinator by hiring former Denver Broncos coach Nathaniel Hackett yesterday. A lot of people obviously linking Aaron Rodgers to Nathaniel Hackett because of their time at Green Bay, and they have a very good relationship. Also, though, Joe, it didn't happen in Denver, and we kept hearing it was going to happen in Denver. So I'm really not certain why everyone thinks all of a sudden that this is the magic to getting Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets.
You know why it is? Because you get to talk about Rodgers. That's exactly what it is. The opportunity to talk about Rodgers. You can't make the hire solely because of that. Because if it doesn't work out, Robert Saleh's already in a situation where he needs to show some serious progress next year, not just in the wins category, but with Zach Wilson as well. Otherwise, he's going to be on the chopping block. I mean, everyone keeps telling me Rodgers and Hackett have this great relationship. They were together like 3 seasons in Green Bay.
Yeah, that's
3
the
seasons.
Other thing. Everyone acts like it's like some, like they've been best friends their entire lives. Right. Was it 3? I thought it was 2. Maybe it was 3 seasons.
2019, 2020, and 2021, he was the offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers.
So 3 seasons. So there you go.
Like, okay, 2, 3, who cares? Not that many. I mean, my goodness. I'll also say this. In Hackett's defense, Some guys just aren't cut out to be head coaches. Some guys are good coordinators who just can't make the transition at head coach. Norv Turner was one of those guys. He was a very good offensive coordinator, but he wasn't a solid head coach. Maybe that's Hackett's bag. Maybe he is a good play caller. Maybe he is a good play designer. Maybe he's a great offensive coach. It's just not his thing to be a head coach. So good luck with the Jets. I mean, from a PR standpoint, it doesn't look good to begin with. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, I don't hate the hire from that perspective, right? Like, Nathaniel Hackett, it did not go well in Denver. There clearly were leadership problems in Denver. That's the one thing that concerns me here. But you're absolutely right. I buy into the concept that some guys are built to be coordinators and not head coaches. And so I will ignore the head coaching record there from Hackett. He reportedly got the job by his coordinator resume and by the fact that he had the experience. Apparently, reportedly, Saleh had interviewed 15 candidates for the position. So Robert Saleh is saying this isn't about Aaron Rodgers. Of course, that's what he's going to say. But in saying that, he did say something that I do feel like is true. He said, everybody has a connection to everybody in this league. And that's probably pretty true when you run in those NFL circles. And so, yes, there is this previous standing relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett, but also Nathaniel Hackett has a lot of relationships, I would guess, across the National Football League, and so does Aaron Rodgers. And again, we didn't see Aaron Rodgers drawn to Denver just based on that relationship, so I have a hard time believing that is going to be what draws him to New York. Now, maybe there's other reasons that Aaron Rodgers wants to find his way to New York, but by the way, this conversation involves the Packers as well, because Aaron Rodgers is under contract. Keyshawn Johnson, he is the host of a show here called Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Y'all should check it out. 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, right here on ESPN Radio. He discussed the Hackett being solely because of Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think for 1 minute that they hired a guy who just got fired with the 32nd offense-ranked offense in the National Football League? Mind you, the offense got better when he got fired in Denver, slightly better. With a connection to Aaron Rodgers, and the owner of the New York Jets says, we'll do anything to upgrade the quarterback position. We'll pay whatever to whoever, whatever picks, whatever. And they went into this like Robert Saleh said, oh, we are going to look at everything and all this, and we haven't, I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett looked at the quarterbacks that's out there. He doesn't really know yet. We haven't decided. Dude, for 1 minute, do you think that the New York Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett without the mindset of we getting ready to get Aaron Rodgers?
Joey Amber's presented to you by Progressive Insurance. So Keyshawn's convinced it's only about Aaron Rodgers, Joe.
I can't imagine that the hire was made because of that. I really can't. Unless it's already a done deal. I keep going back to this. If you're Aaron Rodgers, how many teams do you think are interested in bringing you to town? Legitimately, like, we sit here as radio hosts and we'll kick around teams that might not actually be interested. I think the Ravens are a great fit, but they might be good with Lamar. So that might not even be on the table. But let's say there's five or six teams that are interested.
I'd say between five and seven.
Okay, so let's go with that. I'm not going to argue that. Let's say five and seven. What makes the Jets the team you would want to go to? Why would you choose the Jets?
Everyone says the defense. So you can win a Super Bowl because the defense is so good. I mean, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play defense, so I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's nice to have that, but it's not like that is probably your first analysis when you're playing the quarterback position. It's probably more about weapons and help in the backfield, and they do have some of that budding there on a very young New York Jets team. He's not a very young quarterback, though, so does he want to go to a very young Jets team that's on the come up?
It depends on how close he thinks they are. I think they're closer than people realize. If you have competent quarterback play, that team's a hell of a lot better than what we saw last season. They had way below average quarterback play. Like, they beat Miami in the final week of the season if it's not Flacco. And that's not to knock, because you guys were out your starter as well. So that's not to knock. But they would have won. I mean, they went to Green Bay and won last season. That Jets team won at Green Bay last season. They just had awful quarterback play all season long. I know people like Mike White. He's not an NFL starter. Let's be honest here.
I'm sure if Aaron Rodgers wants to go to the New York Jets, then if there's a will, there's a way. And it seems like Green Bay is more willing to have those conversations than they ever were before surrounding Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think that the Hackett hiring is necessarily just dependent on that. Like, that would certainly be a cherry on the top. And I'm sure Robert Saleh is hoping that maybe that ends up being the case. But they did spend a couple years together in Jacksonville on that coaching staff. They did have a previous relationship there between Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett.
Joe and Amber, the podcast.
Amber Wilson and Joe Fortenbaugh hanging out with you. You can find him on social media at Joe Fortenbaugh. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. It is time here on Joe and Amber to sound on or sound off. Let's do it.
They said it, but what did they really mean?
What are you trying to say to us?
Sound on, sound off with Joe and Amber.
Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, are those the only superstar quarterbacks in the NFL? Well, here is our very own Bart Scott on Get Up earlier this week.
In this league, too often, we confuse good with star with superstar. It is only three superstar quarterbacks in this league. It's Allen, Burrow, and Mahomes. Everybody else, are to a certain extent, is a product of a system. Jalen Hurts is not a superstar. And if Philadelphia decides to pay him like he's a superstar, you have to capitalize early on in the first couple of years of a big extension because you have to start saying goodbye. Amari Cooper is not there
right. Because
Dak Prescott contract is. So that means he has to overcome and make Gallup a great player.
For Sound On, Sound Off, we always welcome in our producer, James Steele, to throw the hard-hitting questions at us. What's up, James?
So how many superstar quarterbacks are there actually in the NFL, Joe?
Bart's got a point. I mean, Russell Wilson fell off a cliff. Aaron Rodgers didn't make the playoffs this year. Lamar Jackson was hurt down the stretch. And I can understand the trepidation with Hurts. He deserves a lot of credit for what he did this season. But number one, he wasn't very good last year. They got him some weapons. Now he's better. Great. But he wasn't good last year. So we've only seen it over one season. And number two, they've had a really easy schedule this year. So I can see where Bart's coming from. I'm not necessarily going to disagree with the three. I think there are a bunch of guys right on the cusp, maybe like a Justin Herbert, but those three are the cream of the crop right now.
For me, there's five superstar quarterbacks in the NFL. It's those three that Bart mentioned, and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Now, I understand Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers didn't have their best seasons, but once you reach that superstar status, it ain't easy to lose, especially when you're that level of superstar. I mean, they're going anywhere and they're being recognized and people are fawning over them and everybody knows who they are. Heck, way more people, frankly, know who Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are in terms of star power and star quality than, frankly, any of those three quarterbacks that you heard Bart Scott just name that probably are superstars in their sport, but maybe don't transcend beyond football. And so I can't even have the conversation when it comes to Jalen Hurts. He hasn't been doing it long enough. He hasn't been doing it long enough to, at this level, to be a superstar in terms of the NFL or even a superstar in terms of just general world recognition. There's no aspect of Jalen Hurts. He's had a great season, heck of a season. He might win a Super Bowl, fine. We're going to need to see it from him for many more years before I think really he's catapulted into that discussion.
Who had a better season this year? Hurts, Rodgers, Brady. Rank him in order.
Well, I would say Hurts, but also you did have the injury. He did miss some games there, but we're talking about a player who's about to play in an NFC championship, so Hurts, and then Brady, and then Rodgers. When you pull the numbers, that seems obvious to me.
You're using a lot of past body of work. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just you're really weighting what we saw from Rodgers and Brady in the past,
but
because if they're in and Hurts isn't.
Well, superstar connotes like superstar, right? Like star power isn't always who's the best. LeBron James is not the best player in the NBA anymore. He's still probably the biggest superstar in the NBA, right? Like superstar to me goes beyond who's just the best. It's who could walk into any restaurant in America and somebody's going to recognize that. Maybe not even somebody who's very in tune with football, right? And probably that's not Josh Allen, frankly, but at least with Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, anybody who follows football knows those guys, right? I feel like Jalen just became part of this conversation. It just hasn't
I can
been
see
long
that.
Enough.
I wonder how many enough. People would recognize Joe Burrow, honestly. That's one that's interesting. I mean, wonder how many people recognize him.
Right. Those guys don't transcend the sport the way that a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. The person down the street, I'm trepidatious there about saying housewife down the street because I find it sexist. The person down the street who doesn't watch football, then, you know, are they going to recognize Tom Brady if Tom Brady walks into the restaurant that they're in? Probably.
Well, yeah, Tom Brady for sure. Absolutely.
But not Joe Burrow.
All right, so maybe you and Bart have a slightly different definition, but your point, his point, both valid points. Interesting stuff.
Either way, there's a limited list of superstars in the league. Where are we now? Speaking of the Eagles, Eagles receiver A.J. Brown was visibly frustrated on the sidelines during Philadelphia's win over the Giants last weekend, but he swears he's not a diva.
I'm never the receiver to
to go on the sideline or to try to cause like problems on the sideline. I'm not that guy. I think that's what you can describe as a diva or whatever the case may be, but I'm not that person. I just feel like I can change the game, you know, in a moment. And, you know, getting the ball often definitely just puts you in the zone. You're locked in. And of course, you know, of course I want the ball.
So wide receivers kind of get that reputation sometimes. So, Amber, what's the one thing that makes you look at a wide receiver and go, yeah, he's a diva?
The one thing, I mean, for it's honestly, it's the personality of the people that play that position. And that ain't a knock on that position, frankly. It's not a knock on wide receivers. There seems to be a running theme with the type of personality that is gravitates towards that position and has the athleticism to play that position. And frankly, it also tends to make them really good at that position. So I don't really care if AJ Brown's a diva at that position, Joe, because divas at the wide receiver position has kind of become synonymous with like really, really good in NFL history.
I'd say what makes you a diva is wearing a $1.3 million watch during a game like OBJ did that one year. I don't know how to pronounce that watch. Richard Millay? Richard Mill? I don't know.
The jewelry during games thing is so stupid to me. Like, we know you're rich. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, the reason that, like, the rappers, everybody, like, they floss all the diamonds and stuff, it's because, like, so that we all know that they're loaded if we don't know who they are, right? The guy playing in the NFL game that I'm watching on Sunday, I already know you're rich. I'm quite literally watching you do the job that makes you rich, so I don't really need you to be all flossy in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes you a little bit of a diva if you wear something like that. Also, I think it's kind of badass that he pulled that off because that thing was really expensive. What if it ends up getting smashed? Like, if you're going against the wrong defender, that guy, Marcus Peters, seems like the type of guy that would want to put his helmet right on that watch to try to break it at some point.
Of course.
But I don't think Brown's a diva. A lot of these guys are just competitors. And you have to remember, they know that they can change the game just like that in one play. But if they can't get the ball, it's got to be incredibly frustrating because every receiver is always under the impression that they are always open. There's never a receiver on earth who's come back like, man, I'm covered. All of them always feel they're wide open, and they also feel if you just throw it in the vicinity, they can go up and get it. Now, when that doesn't happen, you end up going under the bus for throwing a bad pass. But receivers just have a different mindset, man. They always think they're open. They always think they can go up and get it. And when enough time goes by in a close game where they're not getting that rock, they tend to get frustrated. I can understand the frustration. I think a guy like Brown is just a competitor.
Something unusual happened during Wednesday night's college basketball game. This game was between Loyola and, is it Deuce Kenesse?
Oh,
Destiny?
My God.
Deuce,
what?
Help me out.
Oh, no.
Duquesne. Is that how you spell Duquesne?
Yeah, that's how you spell
Duquesne. That's how you say Duquesne.
Oh, no, that's not how you spell it, though.
Apparently, that's how you spell
Duquesne. That's how it's spelled, man.
That was the worst pronunciation of any word I've ever heard from any person in my life.
See, this is the problem with us doing this show and us not having a talkback button to our producers. It's like I can't scream in James' ear. How the heck do you pronounce that word that you just put up on my screen?
Duquesne.
Who spells Duquesne like Duquesne? That's how you spell Duquesne. I have never in my life thought about how you spell Duquesne. It has never, I guess, come to my attention. And apparently I haven't talked about that school previously. Well,
apologies to everybody who's ever come into contact with or attended the great University of Duquesne.
The great University of Duquesne. You do deserve better. But also spell your school better, because what is that spelling? Anyways, something happened during the game. Just listen to the play-by-play.
And we got an official's timeout. And somebody came on the floor on the far side. Looking for an Uber Eats delivery or something there is carrying some McDonald's.
Oh, this has to be one of the all-time greats.
I'm actually not kidding.
No, this is the truth.
I think that's what's happening.
This guy's in the corner. Looked like was he going to deliver the McDonald's to somebody on the court?
It was so bizarre. I mean, if you haven't seen the video, you got to go look it up. But this guy's just wandering right onto the
fake.
Court.
It's fake. He was wearing a microphone. It's the TikTok generation. He's trying to be TikTok famous.
But anyway. Oh, really?
Yes, because like how
that's
can you get into an arena if you're the Uber Eats guy?
I don't know. Maybe if it's courtside, the guy probably buys a ticket for you, I'd imagine.
So literally, you'd have to buy the ticket and then get them to go through security with the food to deliver it to you. I don't know. But yes, reportedly, or at least from what I saw from people at the game on Twitter, he had like a microphone on and everything. So people were theorizing it was all set up, which I feel like everything's set up in today's world.
All right. So anyway, what would be like the most baller place to order Uber Eats and have it delivered to? Joe,
I thought your question was going to be how do you spell Duquesne. I think you missed the mark a little bit with your question, but that's okay.
I have to do one really ditzy thing every show.
First thing that comes to mind is the Eiffel Tower. And there's what? I think there's three levels to the Eiffel Tower. The one time I was there, I went up to the first level. I was like, I'm not dealing with this elevator anymore. This is good enough. Good view. Let's go have something to eat. But if you go all the way to the top and Uber Eats shows up there with an order, I'd have to think that that's got to be one of the all-timers right there.
Yeah, that's one of the all-timers. I think like the top of anything, right? Like the top of the Empire State Building, the top of the Eiffel Tower. I feel like the top of anything is a good way to go there. I also think that you
top of anything.
To give...
So what if you order Uber from the top of a McDonald's? Is that a good way to go?
The top of a mountain?
Yeah, okay.
You know,
Everest.
That's what I'm saying.
Everest.
Well, Everest, you know what? That would be a heck of an Uber Eats order,
imagine
but I don't think you get service up there, I'm going to guess. I haven't done it. I don't know why anybody wants to do
satellite
it. I have no
phone.
Desire to ever climb Mount Everest. But I feel like there's no service if you do.
I think we're on to something. I think if you ordered Uber Eats from the summit of Mount Everest and
with
you did it far enough
phone.
In advance where this guy knew he was going to have to be close enough to you to summit at the same time because you're limited with your oxygen up there, mm-hmm. I think that's the ultimate baller move. Uber Eats showing up on the summit of Mount Everest. Uber Eats should pay a couple mountaineers and Sherpas to pull that off and turn it into a stunt for like a Super Bowl commercial. Why am I not getting paid for these ideas? Like right
like,
there.
Maybe let's do like Kilimanjaro.
I
don't know if anybody needs to do Everest. That seems a little intense.
I am a genius.
An NBA doubleheader. Well, I mean,
that was
right
a
now the
idea,
bar
is
set
you know
pretty
it.
Low with me and Duquesne. So you are the resident genius on this show at the moment. Tune into an NBA doubleheader tomorrow night as the Nets host the Knicks, followed by Lakers at Celtics, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. Coming up next here on Joe and Amber. The NFC Championship game has really taken a backseat to the Chiefs and Bengals. We're going to talk about that next. Joe and Amber on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Joe and Amber, the podcast.
Follow him on social media at Joe Fortenbaugh. You can follow me as well at Amber W Sports. We haven't gotten to the NFC Championship yet. Feels like it's taking a little bit of a back seat to this AFC Championship. We're going to be getting to that in just moments. But first, let's hit some pizza money. Number two.
Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Friday night of the playoffs means all props all the time. Pizza money number one was Brock Purdy over 9.5 rushing yards. Pizza money number two, Bengals running back Joe Mixon under 3.5 receptions. Now, you may think I'm crazy because Burrow played a big role in the passing game throughout the course of the season, and Kansas City does a pretty poor job defending opposing running backs coming out of the backfield. However, Samaje Perine, Mixon's backup, is the better pass protector. And with multiple starters on the offensive line banged up for Cincinnati on the road at Arrowhead with all that crowd noise, you're going to need protection anywhere you can find it. Enter Perine, who's going to see more snaps than usual. In addition, Perine's been running more routes than Mixon has in the passing game. So this is priced for Joe Mixon to be where Joe Mixon was earlier in the season catching passes. He's just not going to be in a situation on Sunday where he's going to be asked to catch as many passes. So we're playing under 3.5 receptions for Joe Mixon, pizza money number two.
I think the Eagles have a better unit offensively.
Hurts keeps fighting for the end zone. What a run!
The Niners are clearly the best defense left in this thing.
In from behind, Bosa takes him down for the sack.
Joe Burrow, I think this guy's got what it takes to win multiple championships.
Wide open is Ja'Marr Chase! Forget about it!
Moment one play can end your season or keep it going.
Mahomes, end zone. He's got another.
Patrick still does stuff that you just can't comprehend.
So we've talked a lot about the AFC Championship, Joe. It feels like the NFC Championship at this point is an afterthought because we're getting all the trash talk out of the AFC Championship. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. If you missed any of the show, you can always check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But the AFC Championship has the rivalry aspect, right? This budding rivalry between these two teams. It has the two best quarterbacks out of these last four teams remaining. But what's odd is I could make an argument that the NFC has the two best teams out of these last four remaining. And yet it's the conference championship, and we're not talking about very much.
Well, you've got a lot of converging factors here that have elevated the AFC. Number one, let's look at Mahomes' ankle. Star player, face of the NFL, suffers a big injury last week. All week long, we're looking at his stride, his gait, how he's moving around the field. That's a major story to go along with the game. Number two, two of the most popular quarterbacks in the game, the defending AFC champions. And then number three, there is this story, not to necessarily weave it in, but we've been really overly fixated on these two plus Buffalo because of what happened with Damar Hamlin. Because after that, and thank goodness he's doing better, but after that happened, there was this entire discussion for weeks about what was going to happen in the playoffs. How was the seeding going to work? Who was going to visit who if this game was canceled? So it's been at the front of our mind for quite some time in the NFC. The Eagles were the number one team from the beginning record-wise. The Niners have won 12 straight football games. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy, I thought, would be an interesting story because he's the last pick of the draft, quarterbacking one of the best teams in the NFL, but no one wants to talk about it. So that's kind of your quiet smash-mouth game that'll lead off the day. And then you'll get more of the, I don't want to say finesse because that's kind of an insult to a lot of guys, but I want to say a little bit of more of what I would think would be an up-tempo, spread-it-out, big-play sort of matchup.
I do think that these two teams aren't as interesting because of their dominance, in part, right? I mean, you mentioned there the Eagles being the best team in the NFL all season long, the easier schedule, just completely dominant all the way through. The same thing with the 49ers down the stretch here, and you mentioned the 12-game win streak. And the 49ers, to me, should be interesting. Like, the Brock Purdy story should be easily the best story out of these four remaining teams. And yet, it does feel like it's flying under the radar a little bit, I think in part because he's just been playing so well and he looks like he fits in that system. And so it's sort of hard for us to wrap our heads around the fact that this dude is actually a rookie and then he's actually Mr. Irrelevant. We've never even seen a rookie in the quarterback at the quarterback position in the Super Bowl. That's never happened before. So not only would it be Mr. Irrelevant doing it, which certainly we've never seen before, but also Mr. Irrelevant in his rookie year doing it, which we've never even seen a number one pick get that done in his rookie year. That is a heck of a story. That's the type of story that movies are made of if he goes on to win the Super Bowl. And yet right now, it's not much of a discussion point. But I do think it's because that 49ers team just looks really good. That Eagles team just looks really good. There's not a ton to talk about on that front. And then also the star power isn't the same as it is for Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. And the history isn't the same as it is between Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. And with the Bengals and the Chiefs, you can actually believe that these two teams hate each other. And we just don't have the history, the recent history between Philadelphia and San Francisco.
To your point on Purdy, what does he sound like? What's he into? Where did he go to college? Does anyone know anything about him? Tough to
not
root
really
for a guy when you don't know anything about
him. He says all the right things. He's kind of robotic. You know, he handles everything well. He really handles the moment well. He handles the press well. Like, he's been thrust into this crazy situation, and he just handles it all really remarkably. But there's nothing really unremarkable about the way that he's doing it from that perspective.
Well, that's the thing. They all handle it well, but Burrow lights a cigar after a win, and that's cool. Patrick Mahomes has a crazy brother and his wife on social media and all that stuff he has to deal with. He squirts ketchup on everything. Like, we find all of that interesting. We're starting to know more about Jalen Hurts because he had a big breakout season. We don't know anything about Brock Purdy, so how can there be a story? I always said this for years about Mike Trout when everyone said, oh, Mike Trout's the face of Major League Baseball. Mike Trout's so wonderful. I don't even know what Mike Trout sounds like. I don't know anything about Mike Trout other than the fact that he's awesome. Like, baseball's biggest problem is that nobody knows anything about its stars except for Aaron Judge, and that's because he plays in New York. But you got to get the other guys elevated. We haven't heard anything about Purdy. We don't know anything about him.
I just pulled up Purdy's Instagram, and it's just pictures of him playing football, largely.
Yeah.
I mean, it tells
serious
me
business.
Nothing. Except for how young he is, because the only pictures of him not playing football, he's 12, or looks 12 anyways. And apparently Instagram's been around that long for kids his age. But yes, there's really nothing with the Brock Purdy story, I guess, that has personalized it for us yet. And Jalen Hurts to a lesser extent as well. I don't know a ton about Jalen Hurts either, but we've certainly gotten to know Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. If Purdy and Hurts hang around, then we'll get to know them as well. But maybe that is part of it. It's just that quarterback star power in the AFC and our attachment to them as superstars in the league that has made that more interesting.
Joe and Amber, the podcast.